It's good to see everybody today. I want to just hit a, I don't know if announcements is, in 2 weeks we're having family day. We haven't had one of those in a while, and not this Sunday, this coming Sunday's Mother's Day, and then the week after that we're having family day. We'll be inviting the Blake house. We're going to come in, man, and we're going to cook, and we're going to have inflatables and water stuff for the kids. We're going to just, we're going to throw that down on the grills, hopefully get some good volleyball going, and cornhole and some of that stuff. We just want to have a good day of fellowship. So that's 2 weeks from today. So everybody remember that coming up. Invite somebody. This isn't just church family. Invite somebody. Bring somebody. It does not offend me when somebody just shows up to eat that doesn't come to church. Because if they can come in and see something different in us, if they can come in and see peace or love or whatever, and that can be a hook, I guarantee you the Blake House guys are as impacted by family day as they are by a sermon I lay out there on Wednesday night. Often. They need all of the above. But y'all just let's just come in and just have an awesome day together. And that's 2 weeks from today, okay? Amen. I'm really excited about Brother James coming and bringing the word this morning. I've seen just some real stirring in him in the last few months. I keep waiting for him to explode on stage and just start preaching on stage. And I don't know what all God's in the process of doing, and I'm not going to try to label anything on him or anything today and throw any kind of, I'm not throwing my any kind of mantle of anything, but we're all preachers and we're all ministers of the gospel. And there are times I feel like God will give somebody a that they'll, after they have proven themselves out, and I've walked with this man for a long, long time, and he has been faithful, and he has been consistent, and he's been solid in his family, and in this house, and to me and my wife and to my family, and I'm very appreciative of that, and I honor you this morning, James, in that. I really, really do. You know, heck, I stood in the pulpit and married he and Kami. How many years? Long time ago. And so we've just seen them grow as a couple, and then they're beautiful, awesome family, and we're just celebrating that. So I'm really, really excited about James stepping up and just sharing what God's put on his heart. I think it will be meat for the house. I think it's going to be good meat for the house. And so I'm just going to turn it over to James and let him run with it. Here you go, brother.
Amen. This is weird for me, guys. Let's stand up. We're going to read the Word of God. It's very simple what we're going to read this morning. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. This is where it starts, guys. I'm going to read it in some different translations. I'm not sure which one we got. We got the King James Version on there. It says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be with go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Out of the Good News Bible, it says, "Go in through the narrow gate, because the gate to hell is wide, and the road that leads to it is easy, and there are many who travel it. But the gate to life is narrow, and the way that leads to it is hard, and there are few people who find it." The New Living Translation says, "You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many way for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few will find it." And last but not least, the version that speaks to me the most is the International Children's Bible. It says, "Enter through the narrow gate. The road that leads to hell is a very easy road. The gate that leads to hell is very wide. Many people enter through that gate, but the gate that opens the way to true life is very small. The road that to true life is very hard. Only a few people find that road." Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for what you're going to do this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that you've laid on my heart for this body. It's for me, but it's for people in this body, God. It's very simple, but sometimes you just take the simple things, Heavenly Father, and you prove the more difficult things. You take us from the simple to the more difficult, Heavenly Father. And I pray that you take us from the simple understanding of you this morning, Heavenly Father, and it propels us to take the next step that gives us traction this morning, God, to move forward with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I've always wanted to do that. If anybody's visiting, I don't know, I'm not Jeremy Crane. I know our hair and our epic beards, they're very similar, but I'm not Jeremy. You've probably seen me stand right there, and I'm a worship leader. That's what I do. But first and foremost, I'm a Christian that's trying to walk this journey, just like everybody in this room. And I've been feeling like God's been showing me something for a little while about the word traction. And started at work, you know, you're listening to stuff during work and everything. God just started speaking to me about traction and how we lose traction. Okay, so this word is going to be very simple, but this word applies to you in so many areas of your life and so many places in your walk with God. I think you can come back to what we're going to talk about this morning, and it's going to help you. I've got to start applying it in my life for it to help me. So with that said, we're going to get started. And I did resist the urge to wear a suit this morning. Cammie asked me if I was going to dress up. I thought about wearing a three-piece suit because I am preaching this morning. I'm not really preaching. I'm just giving you what God's given me. I'll tell you a little story. I like stories. I think they relate in our life. Cammie and I and the kids, a couple of summers ago, we camp. We've got a camper. It's a 35-foot travel trailer. It's a toy hauler. It's got the gate in the back where you can carry all your little toys with you, okay? We carry a golf cart. But we were taking this, and we were going to go to Anoda Campground up in North Georgia. It's in the North Georgia Mountains. It's up above Blue Ridge a little bit in that area around Brasstown Ball. And so I found this campground. Looked really nice, really cool. It's going to be a fun long weekend in the mountains and everything. So we take off and head that way. Punch everything in the GPS. You know, you put everything in because you don't know where you're going, and we can't read maps anymore. We have to punch it in. So I punched it in, and we're off. I was a little worried about driving in the mountains with this trailer. My trailer is like 12,000 pounds. In trailer worlds, that's really heavy. If you don't know anything about pulling trailers, that's a pretty heavy trailer. It's not like a semi, but it's a pretty heavy trailer. So I was a little worried about all these hills and stuff I'm going to be going through. You know, I haven't gone in this part of North Georgia before with my trailer. But we get up there, travel the roads, pretty smooth. No problems. My truck's handling fine. I don't have the truck I have now. It was the one I had previous to this. We're making it no problem. It's getting kind of dark. We're getting close to our destination. We're about 2 miles from our destination, you know. I'm like, all right, we're about to get there. I'm starting to think, okay, I hope this campground's easy to get into, to back into, and stuff like that. You know, my mind's already there. I'm already getting ready to set up and get out and stretch our legs. It says for me to take a left. Not thinking anything about it. There's some traffic coming. So as the traffic passes, I'm better get it. Because, you know, when you're a long truck and trailer, you don't just sit in the road. You go. So I turn up there, and here we go. Just a few miles from where we're supposed to be. But I noticed pretty quick that we were going up a pretty good incline. A little steeper than what I was expecting at first. And then I noticed that incline didn't stop. We kept going. And I noticed that the road starts turning like this. And I realized, and it hit me like a ton of bricks, I have just turned up the entrance to Brasstown Ball. Now, if you don't know anything about Brasstown Ball, it is the tallest mountain in Georgia. Now, Georgia doesn't have tall mountains, but for Georgia, it's a pretty good mountain. Okay, I'm going up the entrance to Brasstown Ball. It's not where you want to go. It's not where you want to go at all. But so I started this journey up this hill, or mountain, as we call them here in Georgia. We start panicking a little bit because I will tell you, there's no place to turn around when you go on these roads. Okay, there's no little turn around. I don't think a smart car could turn around on these little turns. I mean, there's a really tight hairpin switchbacks going up. So Cammie's like, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know. The only thing I know to do is keep going up. So all I know to do is to see if we can get to the top of this thing. If we can get to the top of it, maybe we can turn around, put it in low gear, and ease back down. Try turning around once or twice, no go. The truck's, what, 17, 18 feet long? Travel trailer's, what, 35 foot long, Scott? You're not going to turn around. You're not doing a U-turn with this thing. So I see a spot. I need to put it in four-wheel drive low. Well, you have to put your truck in neutral to do this, which means you have to stop moving to do that. And I'm just crawling along. We're going about 15, you know. We're just, my truck sounds like it's about to, it's not happy with me. So we're easing up there. I'm like, well, I see this little gravel spot in the side of the road. It looks like where people probably pull over and they look over the side of the mountain. And I'm like, well, that's probably a good spot. I can pull over there. I can throw it in neutral. We can hit four-wheel drive low. We'll get enough traction. Traction. That's an important word this morning. We'll get enough traction, we can keep on going up, and I can get to the top. Problem is, when I pulled off the side of the road, I immediately felt the truck sink down. This gravel that I thought was a pull-off was not a pull-off at all. It was just some gravel there, and it was really, really, really soft. So I pulled my truck in there, and when I pulled my truck in there, all my tires just kind of start spinning. I lost traction. I was no longer moving forward. I put it in neutral, put it in four-wheel drive. I had lost all my momentum, which helped me lose traction. I lost all that. So I put it in four-wheel drive. We started spinning backwards. I'm going up, and I'm losing traction. I'm sliding backwards. Now, if you've ever been on the side of a mountain with a 35-foot, 12,000-pound trailer attached to your rear end, and it's going the wrong way, it's not a comfortable feeling. It's very scary. Scariest thing I've ever done in a vehicle. So we get out. Cammy gets out of the car. We get the kids out of the car. We get our dog Lily out of the car. Everybody's out of the car, and we're sitting on the side of the mountain. Okay, and we're like, what are we going to do? We need to do something. But I don't know what to do at this point. We're like, well, for one, we don't have cell phone service. So we decide somehow we got to get somewhere we get cell phone service. There are people coming down the mountain. Several people pop us, pass us, but there's one young lady that stops. She's in like an old beat-up Toyota truck. You can tell she's local. She knows the area. She pulls and actually stops to help us. And we tell our situation, which is obvious. I mean, there's a trailer sitting on the side of the road. So anybody coming down that mountain thinking, this guy's an idiot. He is an absolute idiot. So Cammy gets in the vehicle with her, and she says, well, there's cell phone service at the top of the mountain. If I can get you up to the top, you can call out, and we can call 911. I didn't know if I had to call National Guard in this situation. I had no idea what to do. I was at a complete loss. So she says, well, let's get up here and go to the top. So Cammy rides up there. Me and the kids are sitting on the side of the road. I'm just looking at my trailer. There's nothing I can do. That brings us to what I want to talk about this morning. This journey that we're on. Let's see. Go to the next slide there. I forgot about my slides. Okay, now I want to explain something to you. This is how I imagine the wide road. This is my. When I think and I hear this story, and I always think of this wide road that leads to hell. Well, guess what? That is an interstate leading into Atlanta. That's what I imagine. That's what I imagine. That's what I think of. And I think all these crazy jokers, we're all going to Atlanta because it looks like it'll be fun. There's lots. What is there to do in Atlanta? Everybody goes to Atlanta. It's a lot of fun. I don't know what it is. The Braves aren't even there anymore, but we're going to Atlanta. So that's what I imagine. You can flip the slide there. This is in my mind what I imagine about this narrow road. It's not paved. There's no guardrails. There's no lights. There's no other people on it. But you see the scenery? It's beautiful. Beautiful what you're seeing. But it's not an easy road. A Prius is not designed to go up this. It's just not. They're designed to go to Atlanta. That's why I don't own one. But my analogy is when you get saved, when you enter that gate, the wide gate and the narrow gate, when you say, God, I'm going to give it all to you. I love you. I'm going to give my heart over to you. I'm yours. When you make that decision, young people, as you make that decision that I'm going to follow Christ, you start this journey right here. You go through a narrow gate. Because most people, especially in the world today, especially in America today, say that gate's not an option. That gate's not real. It leads you off the side of a mountain. And it's just a waste of time. Hey, come to Atlanta with me. There's a lot of great restaurants in Atlanta. So this is what I imagine, and this is the context of my analogy for you this morning. Okay? So we've lost traction. There's a lot of reasons you lose traction as Christians. Israel lost traction constantly. Constantly. If you read the Old Testament, they lost traction. And by traction, I mean moving forward with God, doing what God had called them to do. It's like one minute they're right there figuring things out. The next minute we're worshiping golden cows. And then the next minute we're back figuring things out. And the next, they continually lost traction. So God had to continually help them get traction back. So what causes us to lose traction as Christians where we're at today? Disappointments. There's a lot of, from this side of the room to that side of the room, there are disappointments with every human person in here. Every Christian, every non-Christian, wherever you're at in your life, there's been disappointments. There's been things that hit you in the gut that was tough. It was difficult. Unanswered prayers. And I'm trying to figure out prayers. I don't know if there's such thing as unanswered prayers. I don't know this. I'm trying to figure that out. Because if we're in right place with God, our prayers are what He wants us to pray. So a lot of times our prayers are a little off. But bottom line is, if I pray that this person's going to get healed, and that person doesn't get healed, you know, that's an unanswered prayer, and that doesn't make sense to me. And so that can slow us down. That can say, well, God, I don't understand this. It doesn't make sense. Why do good things happen? I mean, bad things happen to good people. The whole thing, these unanswered prayers, these disappointments, they happen to us all. If you think I'm the only person that's had a disappointment, then you need to come out of your hole and realize that that's everybody. Some are more severe than others. I'm going to tell you that right now. I haven't experienced some disappointments. So there's people in this room that have experienced, and I praise God that I haven't. But disappointments are disappointments. It's what gets us off track, and that's Satan's main goal. Let me explain something to you really simple. Satan's not worried about you being saved. He's not. He's kind of, you know, you're there, most of you. And if you're not, we want to get there. But once you're saved, it's kind of, he's like, yeah, all right, he's kind of God's now. What do I do with that? The main thing I can do with that is keep him or her from taking anybody else with them. So if I can slow their walk down, then that's what I'm going to do. Another reason we lose traction is we are looking to someone else and they fail. If you look to Sid Garner and say, I'm going to put Sid Garner up on this giant pedestal. I'm going to put Damon Thompson up there. I'm going to put Stephen Furtick. I'm going to put anybody, any of these people that you think are these, what you in your mind place as a spiritual giant, somebody that you follow, you listen to, that you respect as a Christian, as a leader. If you put them on a pedestal, not saying you don't honor these people. There's a difference. You honor, but you don't put them on a pedestal. Because once you put them on a pedestal, you're going to find out Sid's not a perfect guy. You're going to find out I'm not a perfect person. You're going to find out our kids, you know, we use the analogy, we got good kids. Now we do. They're not perfect people. You know, nobody's perfect. So once you, instead of putting Jesus Christ on that, you put a person, any person, they're going to fail you. I promise 100% they're going to fail you. So don't do it. Because you're setting yourself up for failure. Okay, so that's one of the big things I see people do. They say, man, you know, I thought this Christianity thing was real, but so-and-so, you know, they're not what I thought they were. You know, they're just not the Christian I thought they were. So this Jesus thing, I don't know about it, man. Gets you stuck. Busyness of life. I think that describes our church. We harp on it all the time, but it's true. We're about to pull, at the Siegel House, we're about to pull our hair out. I'm done with it. I'm over it. It almost makes me angry that there's that much stuff to do. It's ridiculous. Satan uses it. Now we can decide how we apply that. We can use it for him, or we can let Satan allow it to have us lose traction. Another reason that we lose traction is because we're satisfied or content with where we're at. There are people in this room that think, I'm pretty good. I'm good where I'm at. You know, I go to church 3 out of 4 Sundays a month. I like worship music. I listen to J93.3 on my way to work and back. I read my Bible occasionally. I'm pretty good where I'm at. I really don't want to invest any more in this. I'm kind of happy. I'm good. Satan loves for you to be good. That's where he wants you. He wants you to be good. He wants you to be happy where you're at and content with where you're at in your walk with Christ. There's different ways of contentment. I'm not saying you should always want more bigger vehicles, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about with our contentment with Jesus Christ, our relationship with Him. And then, another way, and there's a million ways, but these are the ones that jumped out of me. The last one is burdens we were not meant to carry. We're carrying. You can flip the next slide, I think. That sign right there, it says, steep grades ahead, leave trailer temporarily. You'll never believe where that sign's at. It's at the entrance to Brasstown Ball. You talk about feeling like an idiot. There's a big, humongous yellow sign that says, leave your trailer temporarily. I didn't pay attention to that. I didn't even see that until like the next time we went up there without a trailer. What are you carrying? Are you carrying a 12,000-pound trailer up a road that you shouldn't even be in going up? There's so many times that we've got these burdens that we carry, this stuff that we've carried, the sins that we've committed, the wrongs that we've done, the opportunities we've missed. we put all these disappointments and unanswered prayers and people failing, we put all that in our trailer, a toy hauler that we've got behind us that we can load all these toys up in. Well, we're not putting toys, we're putting garbage in them. And we're getting that 12,000-pound trailer as heavy as we can get it. And then we're picking some path, not even a path that was the right path. Incidentally, I'd put the wrong address in my GPS. It was like 16, it was supposed to be 600, and I'd put 1600 in, whatever the highway it was. So I'm going up the wrong path with a load I wasn't intended to carry up there. So we got to look at what we're doing. We got to look at where we're going and what we're doing. So that brings me to the next part. What do we do? What do we do about this whole moving forward? And what I'm talking about in the most basic form is, am I getting closer with my relationship to God every day? I think there's a lot of people, including myself, in this church, that we have lost traction and we are spinning our wheels. We're not moving any closer from this Sunday to this Sunday to this Sunday. We're not moving any closer to God. There's people that this doesn't apply to, but guess what? It will apply to you at some point. Because that's what Satan does. He slows you down. There's a lot of people in here, I think, that are with where I'm at, that I have lost traction. I'm just not getting where I need to get with God. I'm not spending that time that I should spend with Him. I'm not hearing His voice the way I want to hear His voice. I'm not saying I'm not, because I'm standing up here. I guess that's a good step. But I'm not where He's wanting me at this point. You never arrive. Understand that. If you think you've arrived, and we'll get to that later, you don't arrive. Okay, so what do we do? What do we do? First thing we have to accept is that we have lost traction. Okay, we have to accept that. Jeffrey, you think you can cue that video? I've got like a multimedia extravaganza for you guys this morning. Jeffrey said I couldn't use the smoke machine today. I was going to come out, like kind of rise up out of the baptistry. I was kidding. I really don't have problems with that if it leads to Christ. I don't. I really don't. Because my brother goes to a skinny jean church and they do all that stuff. And I'm telling you, they have people saved. So I really am not knocking it. I can't wear skinny jeans, so I can't attend there. All right, let's play this video.
Hey, Tom, you're really stuck in that rut.
What rut? What are you talking about?
It's clearly a rut.
Really? I thought I was in a groove.
Classic rut thinking. I was once in a rut too, but then I tried chicken for breakfast.
I didn't know I got chicken for breakfast. How long have I been in here?
Long time.
It is a rut. Get out of your breakfast rut with a freshly toasted 300-calorie egg white grill, only at Chick-fil-A.
Have you tried chicken for breakfast? Ambry told me I was supposed to pay to use that. I didn't know that. Cindy found that for me. I appreciate it. That sums up where a lot of us are. We think we're in a groove. I'm in a groove. Man, it's me and God. I'm in a groove. But are you in a rut? Are you moving forward? Are you just sitting there spinning your wheels? Like the lady said, have you tried chicken for breakfast? What have you done? What can you do to get you out of that rut? He obviously was eating a breakfast burrito or something every morning. He needed to try some chicken. Make him feel better, right? Especially Chick-fil-A. One thing, too, and I was telling Sid about this several weeks ago about what I wanted to bring. He made the point of another thing you can do to avoid this is to look where other people have gotten stuck in ruts. When you're driving through a road that's muddy, if you've ever been off-roading, I don't do a whole lot of off-roading myself, but if you're getting off-road and you see these two massive ruts where every truck that's been down through has gone down through there, you probably don't want to get in those. You're probably going to get stuck. If you can stay outside of those and up on the top of them and drive across, you're going to get across it. If you get down in that rut, depending on how much clearance your vehicle's got, is whether you're going to make it or not. I thought that was a good point. So, what are the different things that we can do? And this is so basic what I'm talking about this morning, but I really want you guys to apply this as to where you're at. I mean, this is basic Christianity. Go to the next slide. Let's see. Yeah, there we are. Does anybody know what those are? Any off-roaders in here? Any big Jeep people off-roaders? These are traction pads or traction mats. They're about 4 feet tall, probably 12 to 16 inches wide. And if you look at them, they got handles on the side. They got little knobs all over them, okay? And that's to put under your tires. You can flip to the next slide. You see what they do? You slide them up under your tire. If you get stuck in the mud, you get out. You carry them with you. You go, man, I'm spinning. You know, my four-wheel drive vehicle, which God made you all four-wheel drive when you got saved. He made you and equipped you to go up this road. He didn't send you up this road as a Prius. Okay, if you were a Prius, He turned you into a Jeep. He turned you into a four-wheel drive truck. Okay, this is good Southern stuff right here. It's the truth, though. He didn't send you on this journey unequipped. Okay, He didn't send you out there where you were going to get stuck and your battery was going to run dead. That's not what He did. He sent you equipped. So the second you accepted Jesus Christ, in my analogy world, you became a four-wheel drive vehicle with big old mud tires on there. You're ready to go up this trail. But even with that, we get stuck. So these people who do this a lot, these overland people, these people that load their stuff up and they travel, and I've seen some, and looking at this stuff, I've seen there's people that are nuts about this. And they're out hitting trails every weekend all over the country, and the muddier the better for them. They want to get stuck. That's kind of their point. But they carry these things with them, traction pads, traction mats. There's a million different brands of them. But what they're designed to do is they're designed to get you unstuck. They give you traction. When you get stuck, and you know it's going to happen, they know they're going to get stuck. Guess what, Christians? You're going to get stuck. If you're not stuck right now, praise the Lord. You've been stuck, and you're going to get stuck. You got to know how to get out of it, okay? So I'm going to throw down some traction pads, some traction mats, things that we can do, tangible things you can do as a Christian if you're stuck in this place to get out of it. And these are very simple. First question is, how much am I praying? What's my prayer life look like? And Christians, I want you to victory, ask yourself. Because I have to ask myself, how much am I praying? When I get stuck, am I asking God? Is that my first go-to? Or is he my last go-to? When all else fails, I talk to God about it. That's not how it's supposed to work. He's supposed to, the second you get stuck, you throw prayer out. You throw that thing out, you stuff it up under those wheels, and you start turning. You start getting traction. Am I reading my Bible? There's a lot of Pentecostal people that never open their Bible. I've been in Pentecostal churches since I was a little guy. This is nothing new to me, guys. I've been around the block a few times. And let me tell you, some of the most un-Bible-reading folks in the world are going to be Pentecostal people because they already got it. They've arrived and they know the Word. I don't need to open it. I'm not saying that's you, but it may be you. It's been me before. Are you reading your Word? If you're not reading it, you don't know what it says. Then you're depending on Sid to stand up here every Sunday and preach to you. You're depending on a podcast to listen to. You're depending on somebody else. And God did not create you to be like that. He created that to be part of you. But He also created you to open this Word. Just open it up. Start reading. Well, I don't know where to start. Well, just really, there's no bad place. I have yet to open it and say, well, no, that's not good. If I say that, then it's because I don't know what I'm looking at and I haven't dug deep enough. It's all good, front to back. It's a good book. That's what they call it. You need to open it. If we're not reading this and we're not talking to God, then we're not being what we're called to be. And I promise you, you may be doing all this other stuff, but you're not where God wants you to be. I promise you. Very basic. Young people, read the Word. Read it. There's some amazing stuff in that Bible. There's world-changing stuff, life-changing stuff, huge stuff in that Word. Read it. That's where I fail. I'm going to tell you all right now, I'll stand for you right now, I fail miserably at reading this Bible. I'm preaching this to me, folks. Next thing, you write anything down? Do you ever have any notes? Do you ever write anything down? Do you journal? Do you write down your prayer requests and go back and look at them a month later and say, has God answered this or is it all up here? I think we're supposed to write stuff down. The reason that we have the Bible is because the men of God wrote something down. If they just said, well, I got that. I remember the story about Jesus. Write it down. I was challenged by, and I listened to Charles Stanley on the way to work because he comes on 93.3 at 5:30. And so when I get in my truck, he's talking. And he's a Baptist preacher. It's okay. He's big on journaling. He's big on journaling, which, you know, again, this is like, I'm telling you guys everything I fail at really bad this morning. So he's big on journaling. He's like, if you really are asking God for something, like today, I'm just really, really strongly asking God for this today. And I'm not asking God about it tomorrow. It wasn't that big a deal to me. Maybe it was a big deal, but I didn't put it in its proper place. If you write that down, if you've got a little book, and you write it down, and you pray on that, and you flip that thing open, you know what? In 6 months from now, when God answers that prayer, what a testimony to go back and read. Man, I prayed about this for 6 months, and God has answered that prayer today. But if I didn't write it down, I think, oh, that's cool, God, that's awesome. But when you invest something in it, it means something. Another one that Dr. Stanley told me that got me good, and I've been doing it ever since I heard this, you take notes in a service. Do you write down, how many of you have a pen and paper with you this morning because you came expecting to hear something that was so worthwhile that you were going to write it down and you were going to study it? Did you do that this morning? Most time I don't, and I will say, pat myself on the back, I have done it the last few Sundays since I heard Dr. Stanley convince me. You really, really get on me about this. He even went so far to say, and this hurts. This hurt. Man, well, I heard this. He said, if you're not in a church that's worth taking notes, you need to move churches. But you don't know that until you take notes, folks. You want to challenge this man right here? When he comes up and we get done with worship and we do our thing and they drag this little clear podium out that has been here since this church was built, I think. This is the toughest piece of plastic that's ever been built. When they drag this thing out, and he looks out here, and every single one of y'all pulls out a Bible, a pen, and a pad, you don't think that challenges him? Whoa. What am I going to do now? Man, these people are hungry. It makes you think they're hungry. They want something. So what does that make you do? When you go home, and you prepare for next week, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get something even deeper. You can't help but do that. So don't tell me that it's, I got this whole bride thing down. I got that figured out. I don't need to hear it again. Write it down. Make a note of it. Write it down and study it for yourself. Maybe God's showing you something. Sometimes God shows me stuff different than what Sid says. I disagree with Sid sometimes. I do. Disagree. I don't see it the way you see it sometimes. Me and him, I can't figure healing out. Sid's very confident in what he believes in healing. And I appreciate that. But I'm still working on making that click. It doesn't click to me. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. Sid's confident in it. He's confident in what he believes. I'm still trying to figure out what I understand, what I believe. But I don't know that I'd do that unless I'm making notes of what that man's saying. You know what it has caused me to do before? It's caused me to say, I don't think Sid's right. I'm going to prove that joker wrong. Guess what? Satan just got punched in the nose because I opened this thing up. Sid's not asking you to agree with everything he says. If you go home and study it and come and prove him wrong, I bet he'll be like, yeah, that's pretty awesome. That's right. That's right. Here's another one. Fasting. Man, these hurt. These hurt me bad, guys. You know how many times it talks about fasting in the Bible? Do you know that we're supposed to be followers of Jesus Christ? That means that we're supposed to be Christ-like. That means that we look at Jesus, everything that Jesus did, and we say, I want to be just like Him. When you see me, you think you see Jesus. That's how close I want to be. Do you know what He did? He fasted all the time. Because there were things that were so important to him. He said, I don't need to eat. I don't need to drink. All I need to do is commune with God on it. Don't tell me you've prayed about something that's super, super important and you haven't fasted. I have done very little fasting. Never one of these actually where you don't eat anything. I mean, I'll fast. You know, I'm not going to watch a show or I'm going to eat oatmeal instead of whatever. Now, these people, they went days without eating food because they were so passionate. They were so interested in gaining traction. How bad do you want traction? My wife got in a vehicle with a perfect stranger in the top of a mountain in the middle of the wilderness. She got in a vehicle because she was desperate for traction. She was desperate to get her family in a safe place off that mountain. She was so desperate. My wife don't get in the car with weird people. She does not do that. She stays with me. We're safe everywhere we go. She's not going to hop in the car with somebody. God sent a lady. And I say God sent her. God sent that lady because she wouldn't have gotten in the car with a guy. I wouldn't let her. But He sent somebody that made us comfortable enough, like, okay. How desperate? Will you get in a vehicle on the top of a mountain and ride to the top because you're desperate to get traction? At the end of the day, that's what we wanted. We wanted traction to get out of there. You got to get to this place where it is so important. You are so desperate for it that you will do whatever you've got to do. What are you praying for this morning? Somebody in your family sick? We're praying for Hunter right now. Praying for Kenny, for Doyle. This is easy, guys. This is easy. Everybody extend your hands. Okay. And I'm going to pray, and I'm going to mean it. I'm going to extend my hands, and I'm going to pray. And I'm going to mean it right then. But you know what? When I walk out the doors, I might not think about it again until later. I'll think about it some because I love these people. But it's not something I can't go to Wendy's this afternoon. I got to get before God and pray for this. Not everything can do that to you. But God is going to send things that do that. It's your son. You're going to do that for him if it's needed. Okay? What is it that God's put on your heart? And if God's put it on your heart, you better get serious about it. You better get serious about it quick. And guess what? It's worth not eating a cheeseburger for. Okay? Special events. Sid's big on this. You come here, and if this is the only form of church you ever get, then you're going to have this form of church. We do church a certain way. Like I said, I've been in a lot of churches, guys, and every church I've been in does church a different way. It's just how it is. It's personalities of the leadership. God doesn't necessarily just want you to come to Victory Fellowship all the time, and this is the only place that you hear God's Word and you worship Him and you meet with other Christians. We're not the only Christians in Harrelson County, by the way. We're not the only Christians in Georgia. There's a lot of people that are on fire and love the Lord that go to different churches with different denominations and all that. If you need to go to a worship service somewhere else to spark that, and me and Cami have been talking about doing this, trying to go to some of these, take our kids to some of these worship events and everything, that's what you need to do. See, it'll drive up to Hope Chapel in Cindy. I know several of y'all have been up there to hear Damon. That's great. They got a move of God going on up there. That's awesome. You know, you can go to Bill Johnson's church. You can go. Don't limit yourself, though. Ask God, hey God, show me something. It may be somebody that none of us in here have ever heard of, and that is okay. All right. Go to revival service. Something outside of your normal church. What do we normally do? What I normally do, this is my normal thing, is I get up, we come, we practice. I enjoy practice. We worship during practice. Then we worship during church. Then I listen to Sid, and then we go home. Try to make it on Wednesday nights. Don't always do. We want to do. We come Wednesday night. We go home. That's my normal church. If you're stuck, you have to examine everything in your situation. You have to look at your four-wheel drive. Is it working? You have to look at all the stuff in the vehicle, which I don't know. I'm not going to begin to explain. You have to look at everything that's gotten you stuck. And if there's any one thing in that that needs to be fixed, fix it. Get out of that rut. How much are we serving other people? When's the last time you unselfishly did something for somebody else? And you're not a parent. Let's say it's kind of that's a kind of a given with a parent. That's your life. When's the last time you went out of your way to do something for somebody else, to serve somebody else? How many of y'all went to the CCC last time it was our week to do it? Several of us, but not all of us. I didn't go. We've been to several of them. Just because you miss an event here or there doesn't mean that you're not where you need to be, but that's a great opportunity for us as Victory Fellowship to serve. Because, see, when you're serving others, you're doing what Christ did. And if you're supposed to be a follower of Christ, a Christ follower, a Christian, then you're going to do things that Jesus did. Jesus didn't sit around trying to figure out what the next goodies he was going to be able to get and do were. He said, where can I go to impact people? Where can I go to fulfill my purpose? Because he understood what his purpose was. Why did he understand what his purpose was? For one, he's God, and you're like, I can't compare myself to Jesus. But he prayed. He read the scrolls. He kept up with all this stuff. He fasted. Every event he was at was a special event. Sometimes you just have to stop and reassess where you're going. When we were praying last week, Brother Jeff talked about this. We prayed out here, and he said, sometimes you got to stop, because I was kind of giving a little bit of what I was thinking about. He said, sometimes you got to stop and don't move. Another fun trailer story. Y'all are going to think I don't know how to pull trailers, but I got to tell you this one too. So we got a boat, a little pontoon boat at Lake, take it down to Weedowee. I've never done the whole lake thing. This is a whole new thing to me. It's a lot of fun. It's really cool. But you got this this trailer. It's a pretty long trailer. Well, and at Lake Weedowee and a lot of the lakes let the water down during the wintertime. Of course, that's when we got this boat and decided we were going to be lake people. And so the water in the lake, especially Weedowee, it goes down like 11 feet. It goes like way down. It looks almost like a little river out there. Well, I've been real careful backing my trailer in to drop it off, because you got to back your trailer down the boat ramp. The boat starts to float a little bit, and there's many different philosophies, so don't tell me how to back the trailer off. I know the wrong way now. Anyway, you get the trailer off, you pull the trailer out, and you go park it. Well, I YouTube everything because there's people out there that know a lot of stuff that I don't know. So I YouTube it. Like, how do you back a pontoon trailer into the lake? Well, one guy had this great suggestion. He said, when you're going to get your trailer out, or your boat out of the water, back the trailer all the way into the water and get the whole trailer wet, and then pull it back up to where you want to load it at. And it gets what they call the bunks, which is what the boat sits on. It gets them wet and slippery, and that's what you want to do. You want to shoot in there and just not even slow down. Just slide right up on that trailer, hook it up, and pull out. And everybody's like, man, that guy's good. Because I have boat ramp anxiety now. I could back a trailer literally from over the railroad tracks and back it into the foyer. Wouldn't bother me a bit. But you put a boat on it, and I've got water involved, and it makes me scared. Well, I decided one night we were getting done. We had put the boat in the water that morning. We were good to go. I told Cammy, I'm going to try backing the trailer. It's just genius. We'll just slip it up on there. Not a good idea when the lake's 11 feet down. Because what happens is I didn't know that you didn't pour a boat ramp to the center of the lake. Apparently they don't. It has an end to it. I don't know how, and there are different ends to different boat ramps. That's a sermon in of itself, but I didn't know you can't see where it's at. And so I backed that thing down. I'm going to get this thing. Man, I'm going to look like a pro doing this. Back down, I got it wet, and noticed the trailer kind of like did that. Like, that didn't look right. So I go to pull it up. When I go to pull it up, my truck, and I'm in my truck now, which is a diesel truck, which has got more torque than my other truck did. So I'm like, there's nothing I can't pull out. I'm driving a 2500 Duramax in that right sky. We can pull anything out. We could pull the church across the bow tie, right? So I go to pull this trailer out, and it's like I hit a brick wall. And I almost threw me into the windshield. And I'm like, what on earth? There's no way I can be stuck here. This is impossible. So I put it in four-wheel drive. You shouldn't have to put a truck in four-wheel drive on a boat ramp. If you have to do that, ladies and gentlemen, something's not right. Anyway, I put it in four-wheel drive. So I'm sitting in that thing. Cammy's out watching me, starting to get a little bit nervous about what I'm doing. This is a brand new boat trailer, by the way. So I just like, I'm gonna get this. This thing's not gonna beat me. I'll be darned if I'm gonna sit here and be stuck and have to call somebody. So I start gassing, and my truck's like, I mean, literally, I'm bouncing from one side of the boat ramp to the other. I am tied down to something. Some demon has got a hold of the back of my truck. I can't get it out. Cammy the whole time's up there. Stop! Stop! I'm like, I got this. Watch out! I said, I'm going to put it in four low. She's like, just stop. just stop. Let's figure it out. I said, no, I'm not going to stop. I get put it in four-wheel low. We're going to get out of here. So I put it in four-wheel low. There are literally still, when the water recedes this fall, you can go and look. There's two massive black stripes on that boat ramp. They were literally there until the water came up. Where I had ran my truck back and forth, I think at least 10,000 miles off my tires are still on that boat ramp. Came in the whole time. I was like, just stop. Finally, I couldn't go anywhere. I said, all right, I get out. I'm just frustrated. She's like, listen, let's just stop and let's figure out what we need to do. There's got to be a way out of this. I'm like, well, you're just going to have to call the National Guard again. That's the only thing I know to do. So she tried to call a few people. She's like, do you think we could pick it up? I'm like, there's no way I'm going to pick this massive trailer up. I'm like, this is impossible. I didn't even try. I'm like, no, that's not going to work. I got to think of something else. Anyway, finally, it's gotten dark by now. There's nobody on the lake anymore, so I'm not impressing anybody else. But finally, I said, all right, I got to figure out what's going on. The water was a little chilly, by the way. So I eased down beside my trailer on this very slippery boat ramp. And I get down, and I realize that my trailer had bottomed out, fallen off. My tires had fallen off, and it was literally just, there's some springs that are welded up under your thing. There's a little box that they attach to. Well, the side of the concrete, I can't do this with this microphone, is like my trailer's sitting here on the side of the concrete. There was nothing. I had a bulldozer, and it wouldn't have pulled it out because of the situation I was in. I was trying to do what I knew to do to get out of that. What I know to do is more torque. Spin those tires, burn that rubber, we'll pull it out of here and deal with what comes out of it. Jamie's trying to get me to rethink that. So I get down, just to finish the story, I get down there, and I'm like, God, I can feel that tire spinning because it's just floating above. There's no way I'm going to pull it out. She's like, well, can you pick it up? I'm like, there's no way I can pick it up. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. And it goes back down real quick. I mean, it's heavy. I'm like, wait a minute. This thing's in water. Things float in water. They're not as heavy. This doesn't necessarily float, but it's not near as heavy because it's got some buoyancy to it. I'm like, oh, yeah, let me try it again. Get it up. I'm like, yeah. So hit gas it. And, of course, I couldn't hold it up long enough. Anyway, I made Noah get in the water. It's always good. Get your son in the water. I said, bring that giant. I have no idea why I had a Tupperware trash can this tall. It was really, really heavy duty in the back of my truck, other than God knew I was an idiot and needed to put it in there. And so I said, Noah, get that trash can, slide it under. We got to keep the trailer up high enough to where we pull it out. Anyway. We did that, and literally, I could have pulled it out by hand. Because I reassessed it. I stopped for a second. I assessed what I was doing wrong. This solution doesn't always fix everything. Putting a four-wheel drive low and spinning your tires doesn't always fix it. There's things that we do. I'm just going to worship. I'm going to worship until I get my answer. Well, you know what? Maybe you need to fast. Maybe God's like, I appreciate that worship, and that worship's great. I'm not telling you to stop worshiping, but maybe you need to add something else to this thing. Maybe you need to fast. Maybe you need to spend more time just talking to me instead of singing to me. Because I like to do that. I like to sing to Him. That's my thing. That's what I do. I've been doing it since I was a little guy. So that's how I fix stuff. I'm just going to worship my way out of this. Sometimes you can. Sometimes you can't. The main thing that you have to do, or you have to get traction. Traction requires friction or resistance. Without it, you will not move forward. You will stay still or move backwards. Those things, those little knobs, those are not going to feel good to go over. They create resistance. They create friction. Friction's not fun. Resistance is not fun. That's why I am not a bodybuilder. I do not like to hurt myself. I don't like to break my muscles down and build them back up. So that's why I look like I do. I don't like resistance. I don't like friction. I don't like it. But you know what? If I want to get bigger, I got to do that. If I want to get out of this hole, I may have to do something that is uncomfortable. Everything I just read to you is not comfortable. When I'm tired at night and I want to sit down, I'm done, let's just turn on TV and let my brain just go, and God's like, why don't you get your Bible out and read? That's a little uncomfortable. That's not what I want to do. Why don't you talk to me? Why don't you set some time aside and talk to me? That's not comfortable. I don't want to do that. Why don't you journal? Listen, guys, I've got like 10 pages of notes here, and it's mostly because I misspelled everything and have to scribble it out. And so like what a normal person would write in a paragraph, it takes me 3 pages to write because I'm not... You type everything now, you know? I don't write anything. I type everything. So so. No, I don't really want to journal. Gosh, that takes forever. God, I'll remember it. Fasting? You think that's uncomfortable, then you live in a different universe than me. Service to others? Everything I listed is uncomfortable to do. But in your discomfort, it creates friction and it creates traction. It's going to get you moving somewhere. Okay? Then there's things. Let's see. What's that next slide? Yeah. Who knows what's on the front of that Jeep? A winch. I told Madeline, said something about a winch. It had nothing to do with the sermon. She didn't know what a winch was. So I don't want to assume everybody knows what that is. A winch, usually they're attached to bumpers, like four-wheel drive vehicles. It's got a big cable in it. You go hook it around a tree, hook it to something, whatever. It's got a motor in it. It's going to help pull you out. I said God made you a four-wheel drive vehicle. Sometimes there's things within us, attached to us within us, called the Holy Spirit, that we can pull out when we need them, and we can attach it to something solid, and we can get out ourselves. Sometimes it's not a traction pad. Something that's already inside of you, you just got to tap into it. It's like sitting there with this Jeep, sat there and spun and spun and spun. And this joker's crazy because he's in some mud. God will take us places like that. There's no way. I would not, as a human being, think I was going to drive through what that Jeep's driving through ever. But God may call you to drive through it. But He equipped that Jeep to get through that once you got stuck. There are things within us. The Holy Spirit's a huge part that we just don't tap into. Even as Pentecostals, we don't tap into what the Holy Spirit can do for us. God put that winch inside of us. He attached that to us. It is with us all the time. You've got to access it, which means you've got to get out of the vehicle and unhook it and go hook it to something. The things that are within us. So that was my next very short point. Last thing I want to talk about, and I don't have a slide for this, but I do have a physical demonstration. In my truck, I carry this all the time, guys. If you see me and I'm in my truck, that's going to be in there with me. What is that? Tow strap. I don't like chains. They're heavy. Like I said, I don't lift weights, so I don't like that. The tow strap. I have never used this to pull a vehicle out. I pulled trees down with it. I pulled all sorts of weird stuff. I never think, to my knowledge, actually pulled something out with this. It's built to hook to my vehicle and hook to your vehicle if you're stuck. And because I've got traction, I can get you out. What are you doing for people that are stuck? You're riding along on that beautiful scenic path, and you're moving right along. You and Jesus like have breakfast together every morning. Everything's perfect in your life. Maybe everything's just moving right. I think we all know everything's never perfect, but we're making that headway. We've got traction, and I pass somebody on that path. I see one of my brothers or sisters in this congregation, not in this congregation, and I know they're having a hard time. I know they're stuck. I know they're spinning their wheels. I know they're spinning their tires. And they can't get traction. What do? You do the things for them that you would do for yourself. You pray for them. You may fast for them. You may do stuff that you wouldn't normally think to do for somebody else. One thing you can do is share in their struggle. You know, if you see somebody is struggling and you've been through it, you've drove through that rut, come alongside them and say, hey, I've been here. I know exactly what you're going through. There's nothing like knowing somebody else has been through or is going through what you're going through. Nothing. My mother-in-law, Kathy, she lost Steve. I can't speak to her like another widow could speak to her. I can tell her all this great stuff to encourage her. But there's something when it comes from somebody who's walked that path that sticks with you a little bit more. So what are we doing to help each other? Are we prepared to help one another? If I didn't have this in my truck, I would not be prepared. Are you walking around looking for somebody you can pull out of a ditch when you've got traction? You see them right there, say, here we go. Hook on. Hook on to me. Because I'm moving right now. Guess what? I'll get stuck one day, and I'll need you to hook to me. Are we leaving each other behind in here is what I want to say. Are we moving forward because we've got everything going with God right now? Ah, so-and-so, man, they're not where I'm at. It's not what God's called us to do. God's called us to get this strap out and stretch it as long as you need to stretch it. And you need to hook it to that person that's struggling, that family that's struggling. You better hook it to them, and you better hook it onto your vehicle, and you better use the traction you've got to pull them out. Or guess what? You're going to lose traction. I'm going to end with this. It's very simple. The goal is not just to finish, but to finish with as many people as possible. This is not a race that you win. This is a race that you finish. I told Paul, Paul said he would finish the race. What about winning the race? If I was winning the race, then I wouldn't care about a single person in here. I want to get there first. Madeline did track this year, and you're watching all these people from Bremen and Carrollton run. I've never been to a track meet before, so I had to learn that some of it's boring, some of it's pretty cool. But in a certain heat, you may have 3 Bremen people, 2 county persons, and whatever, multiple people. Well, in that kind of race, I don't care if you're wearing a Bremen jersey or not. Buddy, I'm going past you if I can. I want to win. Now, if you come in second, that's great, but I want to beat you. This is not that kind of race, guys. This is not the kind of race that can come in here every Sunday morning and see who's the most spiritual person up here. I'm not interested in that. This is a race about how many of us will finish. And if I've got to slow my roll, if you will, a little bit, to see so-and-so stuck a little bit, I better slow down, and I better hook to them, and I better do what God has put within me to get them out of that place. And if I'm not doing that, then guess what? I am not doing what God's called me to do. As spiritual and great as we think we may be, God's called us to all get there. He wants us all there. So I'll just ask you this morning, I don't know how to do altar calls because I've never done one before. I can play you a song. But I'll tell you this. I felt like this was something that a lot of people in here needed to hear. But not just hear, I think you need to apply it. We've got to apply this, guys. When we get stuck and we're not walking where God wants us to walk, or we're not making that forward momentum like God has called us to do, we've got to stop and realize it. We've got to reassess where we're at. Is it something within us, like a winch, that we just need to dig deeper, find out what God's already placed in here and use that? Is it something outside, external, like a traction pad that we need to throw down and go through that list of things? I need to pray, I need to fast, I need to do all this stuff. Is it that? Do I need to hook to somebody and help them out of that place? Do I need to ask somebody to hook to? Sometimes you're riding along and I don't think they're moving, but I don't want to bother them. But guess what? If you're standing outside of a truck, like Kami and I were, waving your hands in the road at this truck coming down, hoping that thing stops because you need somebody to help you. If you're doing this, guess what? They know you need help. Don't sit in your truck with the heater on like, well, if those people love me, they'll stop. No, sometimes we don't know you need help. Sometimes I have no clue. I tell you what, about 95% of the time, I have no clue the struggles that you people walk through. I don't. You don't know the struggles I walk through. It's okay to get out of your truck and wave your arms and say, I need some help. Hey, do you got a tow strap? Do you have a tow strap? I need some help. I need out of this situation, and I know you've got what it takes. I know you've got traction. I know you're moving forward with God. I need some help. Will you pray with me? Will you do this? What can you do to help me out of this? If you don't do that, folks, don't get all fuzzed up when we don't call you and bring you a casserole every Sunday. We need to know. I need to know. Very, very few times somebody specifically came to me and said, James, will you pray for me about this? And they not do it. Or man, if you ask me to pray for you, I'm going to pray for you because you asked me to. It's different when you ask the church to. That's kind of easy to hide. When you ask me to pray for you, ask me to do something for you, I want to try to do it. Not that I always will. But we've got to let others know where we're at. Like I said, this is some basic stuff this morning, guys. But I think there's a lot of people in here who need to hear it. I think there's a lot of people. We as a church sometimes lose traction. All churches do. To finish my story, tow truck comes. Back on Brasstown Ball. The lake's done. We're done with that. The tow truck comes. We wait forever. Guy gets up there driving his massive tow truck. I thought, oh, yeah, we're going to get out of here now. Massive tow truck up through there. Man, I could hear it. It took him forever to get up the mountain. We're watching him like, he's just getting it. I'm like, yeah, he's coming to get us. He's going to hook up. We're going to get. Because my thought was he's going to hook to the front of my truck and pull me on up. Or somehow he's going to have some magic way for me to unhook my trailer. And he's going to hook to my trailer and he can pull it up and turn it around. That was my thought. Or at the end of the day, I was going to unhook my trailer and just push it off the side of the mountain and not care. Something was going to give, and it was about to happen. Guy gets out of the truck. He said, oh, man, you're in a mess. I'm like, I realize that. Look, I'm an idiot. I get it. Let's just move on. Let's just move on from that. I know I'm stupid. I said, can you hook to me and just my wheels, your wheels spinning, let's both get this thing up there? He said, no, man, I barely got up here myself. I'm like, do what? He said, yeah. He said, I couldn't pull a Volkswagen up through here. He said, I barely got up in my house. And my thinking is like, why did you come? Because I'm about to have to pay him several hundred dollars because he drove up. I'm like, why did you even come? And again, he looked at the situation. He said, the only way we can do this is we've got to back down this thing. That's the only way we're going to get out of here. He said, because I can't pull you up. My truck's barely sitting up here. I mean, the guy gets out and takes his big old massive blocks and hammers into the back of his truck because it's like sitting like this. He couldn't help me. He didn't have what it took to tow me. Sometimes you need somebody to come alongside you and say, I might not can pull you out, but I think I have an idea of how we can do this. He said, you get in the truck, and let's back this thing down. So I got in there, popped the emergency brake off, and, buddy, I could feel the weight. I mean, I'm standing on it. Standing on this thing. I was literally having my hand on the door, like, if this goes, I'm rolling out. It's going to go. Because at that point, I didn't care. So we eased it down. At some point, I switched seats with him because he told me that, he said, your wife says she wasn't too worried about me falling down the hill. Let's swap. She didn't say it that way, but I think that's how he interpreted it. She was like, don't let my husband die. And he's like, I think I can do it anyway. So we back it down to one of these points that I thought originally I couldn't turn around in. And I couldn't turn around in it the way I went on it. I was going to pull straight in and back up and turn around. When you're pulling trailers, there's different angles that allow you to do different things. Because I had gone past that point, we backed back down to this point, which is probably about a mile down there. I don't know. We snaking back around, back in this trailer. Thankfully, nobody is on the road at this point. We could have camped there for the night, really. But we snaked this thing back, and he said, I think there's a point back here that we can, if we back the trailer into, we can get you turned around. So we get to that point. And because I came in at a different angle, at a different position, what I thought wouldn't work, worked. We backed in two or three wiggles, if you want to call them technical trailer moving terms. We wiggled that thing, and guess what? We were pointed the right way. He said, put it in four-wheel low and let it ease you down. We put it in four-wheel low. Everybody got back in the truck. We eased on down, and we got there. Just because it didn't work one time in one situation. Hey, I prayed about something one time, and God didn't answer my prayer, so I'm not going to pray anymore. Or, you know, I fasted that one time. I didn't eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for 3 weeks, and God didn't answer my prayer. I'm not going to do it again. Listen to God. Listen to God. Maybe you were at the wrong angle first. There's things that we'll approach, and we think we're doing it right, and we're not. God will say, you need to try that again. You don't need to give up on worship music. You don't need to give up on this sermon series because you don't understand it. Dig a little deeper. See what God's wanting to teach you. So how to do an altar call. I mean, it's one of those things where if that applies to you, you can come up here this morning and get it right. Linda, I don't know if you want to play something. You want to do that? Y'all want to play? God can speak to you wherever you're at. If you're sitting in that seat and you don't want to get up, God, this is symbolic. This is a special place, but that's a special place too. Wherever you need to get to speak to God is where you need to get. It's, like I said, there's different angles for different people and different things and different situations. So this is not a one-size-fits-all. God's not going to answer my prayer if I don't come down here. It's not true. He honors that, but He honors that too. So, brother, you want to wrap this up?
Y'all go ahead and stand to your feet. Give an honest assessment of where you are in life and ask yourself, have I lost traction? Am I in a stuck place? There are two things, and if you say, yes, I am, there are two things that's going to cause you to get out of that stuck place. You're either going to be motivated by fear, or you're going to get your eye on such a prize that they will cause you to want to move. Either you'll say, this stuck place, James and them wanted to get down because they were afraid, because I went up the wrong road. That's why most of us got saved. Because we're afraid, I cannot keep living my life like this. And so it caused you to say, I am stuck in a bad place, on a bad path. And so it caused you to turn around. The other side of that is maybe you're on the right path, but you've just lost traction. And you say, man, I don't know if I can move forward and all that stuff. If you rightly see the prize that is set before you, it'll cause you to do whatever it takes to get out of that stuck place. So if you feel like you're on the right path today, but you just lost traction, get your eyes on the prize and see that once again. Get a glimpse of it again. And it will move you to do one of these things that James talked about. The flip side of that, if you feel like I'm going down a wrong path, I'm saved, but I'm going down a wrong path, and stop and say, man, how do I get back down this thing? So whatever's applicable to you, respond to that. Respond to that. You say, man, I don't know if I can. You can, I promise you. I promise you can. Within you, there is something. You can do this. You can do this. Rightly see the prize. Rightly see the prize and respond to that. Respond to that. Father, we come to you and I thank you for today. I thank you for the word. I thank you for this message that you put in James to release into this body. And Lord, I feel like sometimes I know as individuals we get stuck and we lose traction. Father, I pray that we would respond to what you're showing us and leading us into. I pray we'd rightly respond to that. To stir in people's hearts. God, let us do the things that you show us to do. It's in Jesus' name I ask this. Amen. Sometimes you getting losing traction, going down the wrong path, is actually God's grace. Because if you don't get stuck in that, you're going to wind up in a really, really, really bad place. So recognize that. In that sense, being stuck's a good thing. Because it causes you to say, I can't keep going up this bad mountain, this bad path. So just respond to that.